appropriate. This, I don't know if many of you have. It's one of the last things that Reverend Colin Urquhart did. Is he translated a study Bible of the New Testament, which this is. It's really, really helpful. The only trouble is, if I suggest you get one, you'll find all my sermons in it. Have you got one?
No, it's not.
Oh, hello. Up a bit, okay. Do try and track that down. The truth, it's got study notes with it as well. Really, really helpful. Not just for pastors, but for, I'd suggest, it's an addition to reading a normal translation. It's not the only one you should have. But I do strongly suggest that you have that. And I bring it sometimes because he can say things in a clearer way than I am able to do. Last time I was here, it's hard to remember now. Somebody said to me, we need more teaching. I might respectfully suggest that none of us need much more teaching. We need more application. We need to, in fact, somebody said to me, a wise pastor once said to me, Brian, what did God say to you last? And I said, I think he said this. He said, have you done it? Because I was moaning, I couldn't hear God's voice. But actually, we actually need to apply what we're learning. There's no good just absorbing more and more if it has no effect on the way I live. So it should affect the way I live and I think and I respond to other people. Would you agree with that? That's good. I do apologise that, after being a pastor 38 years, I can talk on this subject from experience, from wonderful experiences of being a pastor, incredible experiences, to some pretty awful experiences of being a pastor. I know I've experienced the good, the bad, well, you said it, and probably the ugly as well. However, God's gifts are not for sending them back, really. So I took the king's shilling, as I once said to your previous pastor, and therefore I've remained even when it's been difficult, by God's grace. But this is a subject that's much on my heart, so I want to start to explore it with you today, because I think it's important that we understand what we're looking for. You may not find the word moderator here, but you most certainly will find the word pastor. You see, that the verses I want to think about today is that Christ, the ascended Christ, gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. Some of them, they merge into each other at times. And in fact, in 2008, back in the day, when there were more of you and you were facing in a different direction, when I think you had Pastor Danny with you, he asked me to come and preach on this verse, particularly about apostles. It wouldn't have been a verse I would have picked, but I do remember preaching on that. I'm not going to preach about apostles today, or prophets, or evangelists, but I'm going to teach about pastors. As I say, it's something that I have some knowledge of. After I've lived this experience and experienced this experience of what it is to be a pastor and to pastor God's people. These five, he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, pastors and teachers, are known generally as the fivefold ministries, fivefold gifts Christ has given to his church for leadership. I don't want to go into them except for one today, but they are interrelated. And we see in the scripture, we actually see in the scripture, them working together often. Paul went with other people. He had a little band that went with him. Peter went normally with other people. They travelled around. They would go and move amongst the churches, teaching the churches, helping the churches, caring for the churches, forming churches from nothing. And they work together, bringing various gifts to a local church or to build a local church. And then when they've achieved their objectives, most of them would move on. But very often I'd suggest a pastor would stay there along with other leaders in the church. Okay, you see in the ministry that it's not unusual for them to come and go. And therefore it's not unusual for pastors to come and go if they are part of this apostolic gift. They are apostolic, means they are sent ones. They are sent, as my dear sister over here said, they are sent, anointed by God for a purpose, to go and equip God's people, or maybe. So when you say, well, I've heard somebody say, well, we're the body of Christ here. Yes, we are. Actually, no, you're not altogether, because that includes all the Christians in any one area. So it's not just Downs Baptist Church that are the body of Christ in this area. You are part of the body of Christ in this area. I've had that said to me, or in other places. We're the body of Christ, but pastors come and go. Quite right, and that's what they should do. What I've discovered from personal experience, if I stay somewhere for too long, I actually become ineffective. At one of my churches, my dear wife said to me, I'd been there probably 10 or 12 years, which was a long time. She said, they've stopped listening to you, Brian. They've stopped listening to you. I loved the thing. I loved what was going on, but they'd stopped listening. So my effectiveness had ceased. But I hadn't recognised it. It took the one who I'm under authority to, my wife, to tell me that. Pastors come and pastors go. There are various sorts of pastors. You know, we're not all the same. Some of them will never challenge anybody about anything because they just want to feed the sheep. And that's okay. There are feeders, and then there are prodders. I'm probably a prodder. I'm an encourager. Well, if you look at the Bayeux tapestry, you see it says, and the king encourages his troops with a spear up their bottoms. Sometimes we have to do that. There are those that are better teachers, those that are better carers, those who are better organisers. They have their primary gift is more in one area than the other. Your last pastor was a very caring man. Your pastor before that probably was a different sort of person with more visionary zeal. And we all bring something of what you need at a specific time for a specific purpose if the people are listening and willing to listen. That's something that we need to be aware of. Is that helpful? So all these gifts are translocal, so don't worry if pastors come and go. This is my first point. More often than not, they are sent ones by the great apostle himself, the Lord Jesus, who was sent by the Father. So the Lord Jesus, the ascended Christ, sends pastors who he's anointed to certain places. So misunderstanding one is we appoint our pastor. No. All you do, if you want to have some sort of little vote about it, is the Holy Spirit will start to tell you this is the person. And equally, just recently he told some of the leaders this isn't the person for you. So it's a matter of just us going along with what God wants. We don't get a choice in it. We have to do an agreeing with God in it. Right? So if you think, well, no, Baptists are democratic. No, you're not. We're not to be democratic. We're to be people who listen to God. We are theocratic, God-centered. We're not wanting what we may all want. We want what God wants. When we then discover that, that's why it's good to have a common consensus, this is the right person for us, then we can feel confident with it. If we then say, this is the wrong person 18 months later, well, who got it wrong? Had we listened clearly enough to the Lord, and have we been listening to the gift that God sent us? Anyway, my first point is they come often from outside, sent by the Lord, not always from outside. Sometimes he raises people up from within as well. And they're sent for a specific period for a set purpose by the Lord Jesus himself. They are Christ's gift to us. So they're sent to a local church, pastors, to do what? To do what? Well, the clue is in... I asked you what I thought you thought a pastor was, but what we need to do is be people of the word, don't we? People who understand what the word says, what we're actually, so we know what we're getting. You know, I spend a lot of time looking at what sort of car I might want. I research it and all the rest of it. You know, I expect to get what I've been reading about. And it's true with us, we need to understand what we're getting and what we're not getting and what the purpose of it is. And not be upset if they go off after 5 years or 3 years or 10 years. That's fine. Just occasionally, they stay for a long period of time. But that's more exceptional than normal. So, what are they sent to do? The clue is in verses 12 and 13. Verses 12 and 13. Have we got that, please? Or I'll read it to you. This is what they're sent to do. This is my point two. What are they here for? Verse 11 says, and he gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare, here we are, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining to the whole measure and the fullness of Christ. So they are sent, the common purpose of all five ministries, but the one who seems to stay much longer in a local church or is a pastor, to help prepare God's people to serve him. They are here to help us serve, not to do all the serving. If you just think you want to minister because all the leaders are getting tired now, you know, and we don't want to run Paul Gareth into the ground anymore, that is not the reason for having a pastor. They're not coming here to do all the work for you. They're not going to come and work 4 days a week in the greengrocers. In fact, they may not work in your greengrocers at all, even though you'd like them to. All right? It's what God wants that counts, and not what's on my agenda. I've learned over many years, churches have wonderful lists of what they're looking for. I can think of all sorts of churches with all sorts of needs, and the Lord seems to send something quite different to them. I think of this very working class, down on its, I can't call churches down on their luck, church in London, where many people were unemployed, it was very mixed. It was a poor area and a poor church. And you think, you need somebody that understands that mindset. What do they get? In fact, he was a vicar. They got a vicar who was from the landed gentry. He was very posh. And shall I tell you what? He was very successful too. In my first church, I left school at 15 with no qualifications. I didn't read a book till I was 17. I became a Christian soon after that. I never expected to be a pastor. I'm not an academic in any shape or form, as you've gathered by my ramblings to you. I was sent in my first church. I've done my Bible college course, and I'm in my 30s, to to a church where we've got more university graduates and people with PhDs and anything else. And they are not working class like me, they are far more middle to upper class. And who do they get? Not the landed gentry vicar, they get me. Vicky Bryan. They said that's what God wanted. Would you have sent St. Paul to preach to the Gentiles? He was a Jew amongst the Jews. He was more learned than all the other apostles when it came to Judaism. And what does God do? He sends him right somewhere else to work with the Gentiles. God's no respecter of any of those sorts of backgrounds, and we get who God decides that we need at any one specific time. So take it up with him. Actually, I want to tell you that ministry was very successful because we worked together. When they realised they had to make up for my deficiencies, I was making up for their deficiencies. We worked together and we had a wonderful time, and I still have friends from that time. So they are sent to prepare God's people for works of service. So that the common purpose in these fivefold ministries, including pastors, is to help prepare God's people for service, for doing the things that God has ordained for them to do, not to do it all. And I still see pastors being trained in colleges. I still see pastors who are very talented thinking they have to do it all. And it often ends up with, as I've discovered, with mental exhaustion, even mental breakdown. You'd be surprised how many pastors are actually on tranquilizers or have had sessions off with mental illness, including this one. Because we're not called to do it all ourselves. We're called to help you do it. That's why it was important for me to understand when we asked this person we were looking at recently, what is your vision and what are your passions? They're more important than what qualifications you've got, actually. What's your passion? What's God put on your heart? Can we work with that, and can we work alongside you? So it's a common purpose of these is to build us up. So people say apostles, prophets, well, we get used to an old evangelist, but pastors and teachers, are they still needed? Well, I've heard it said, well, we don't need a pastor. Well, have we come to the point, the pastors are here until, it says, we reach that maturity of faith, that unity in that faith, that purpose for which he's called us. So have you here reached that position? In other words, what's it say? Verse 13 says this. He's there to build us up until we reach unity in the faith. Well, we get in there. And knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, obtaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Yes? No? No. So I would suggest to you, we don't need one, we're really enjoying it. Actually, you know what? You have more pastors coming to this church and giving you pastoral anointing. That when I look through the preaching list, there's a huge number of them. You ever look through your list who's coming? And most of them are retired pastors or pastors that are still functioning in one way or another. They carry with them something from Christ that they give you. But it isn't the same us popping in and popping out as you having somebody, you might have to share them with another congregation in the area, that's biblical as well. But it's not the same as having somebody who's got you on their heart. Why I'm your moderator, that's what I think about. I've been thinking about what to share with you today, and it's been part of my being for several weeks now. And that's important to understand. That actually Christ has somebody who has put you into them. He wants them to come to you. So the fact that you haven't got enough money doesn't matter. Or you might have to do something else. The Lord will supply. He doesn't order something he doesn't pay for. Does he? That's true. At least two of my churches would have run out of money within a year if I hadn't done my bit and the church hadn't started to grow. My first little church had enough money for a year. One of my churches, we constantly set a negative budget to meet the needs, and we always met them. Money's not anything. That's called faith. And that's what a pastor also should bring with you, is an element of faith to help us believe that God is doing something. So the purpose is that they come to build you up. You're not there yet any more than we haven't reached all that we need to. A pastor then is Christ's gift to help you do the job. He's simply Christ's gift to help you do the job, to help prepare you, to help equip you. So all those things came out. The third part I want to say now, which also came out, they are a shepherd. That's what the word means. It means a shepherd. I think we get muddled up with the idea of shepherd in today's world, where they're on a quad bike with a, you know, with a couple of vicious dogs. Well, not vicious dogs, they're only vicious to the sheep, really. You know, they nip at their heels to get them to go where they like. I had the privilege of going to Greece once, northern Greece, and seeing a shepherd there calling his sheep off of this steep cliff. Calling them. It's like Jesus calls us. As a good shepherd, he calls us. Calls us to where the pasture is. Calls us to be with him for safety. And a pastor is a shepherd. That doesn't mean to say they're called to visit every person that's ill or to bait every hospital visit, because you do all that already. You don't need any of that. In fact, that's a deacon's role, if you look at Acts chapter 6. We want a pastor to do that, but actually the apostle said, please release us from that, because we need time to get on and do what we're called to do. And shepherding is much more than paying visits and cucumber sandwiches. However nice your cucumber sandwiches are. Don't you do cucumber sandwiches, Beth? No. Oh, well, never mind. They're anointed by Jesus, the Good Shepherd, to care, yes, to guide, to protect from the front. They're not called to preach every Sunday, but we say, oh, you must do all that, and they must do that. Actually, I don't think that's part of the deal. They're there to guide you, and to make sure what takes place is helping guide you and not steer you this way and that way and some other way. They are a steadying voice in a stormy world, but they lead from the front to help you find good pasture and the pasture that God wants you to be in now. A long time ago, in my first church, I had a word, and the church was not much bigger than this, that everybody was enjoying the pasture that they were having now. They were enjoying the fellowship. They were enjoying the worship. They were enjoying how it was. And the Lord said to me, if you stay in this place and continue to just eat that grass, it will become sour to you. That's the word he gave me. And I think it's not just for back then, it's a word for now. That actually there is much more than we are currently experiencing, however good and fulfilling and nourishing it may be. And a pastor will help you find ongoing new pasture and new things to be doing. That's why it's not always good to start lots of new things without a pastor. I'm really not convinced that pastors should just be maintaining, because always the Lord is calling us forward. We are a missionary people. We are people that are people of forward momentum. We just don't go round and round in circles. It's very important that we understand that's their purpose. If I had time, I would talk about the role of deacons, and you haven't got any at the moment, and elders. Well, actually, you do have elders. They're just not recognised as such. But I don't have time for that today. I might come back to another occasion. Because they're not loners either. They're not to be on their own. They are to work in a team within the church. And not to lord it over you, as Peter says to his writers in 1 Peter chapter 4, I think, or chapter 5 actually. 1 Peter chapter 5. They're not to lord it over you. That's not the purpose. They're there to help you, to guide you and to encourage you. There's a fear, isn't there, that we've all suffered from, well, I have to call it, it used to be called heavy shepherding. That means, like me, you're overweight. It does it. It means that it's overbearing. The purpose of it is to release us. To release us to be the people God wants us to be. It's pastors are servants of Christ, serving him in the church. But they are not your servants. Therefore, it's a different relationship, if you understand that. But they are there to guide you. They must be a person of vision. That's what concerned me, if I'm honest with somebody else we looked at once. They didn't seem to have any clear vision. You want to know what's on their heart, don't you? I think so. And what they believe God is saying, then it's for us to discern that. But they are pastors, under pastors of the great shepherd, under shepherds. They are here, they're his gift to the church, to love us, to care for us, to guide us, to protect us, and to lead from the front. People of love and vision. You see, I sit in another church as a member of that congregation. So I have somebody who pastors me. And pastors should also be pastored. I think where they go astray sometimes is when they don't recognise that they need pastoring, not just from the congregation, but from other pastors. In a few weeks' time, you've got a man coming called Graham Jefferson. He's been once before. He is my pastor, really. And he's a pastor to probably 40 or 50 other pastors who see that this man has wisdom to help them fulfil their mission. And also, from time to time, to tell them, that's a bit silly, isn't it? Well, he wouldn't have... Well, he does. He's told me that many a time. If they are Christ's gift, then, and I've nearly finished, to the church, they are a sacred gift from Christ to the church, right? It's a sacred thing that you're seeking. You're seeking a gift from Christ to help you develop and grow. If that is the case, then we need to love them and to support them and not to talk behind their backs and to honour them. Because they are, as we honour them, we are honouring and respecting the Lord, whose gift they are. Now, like me, they come in imperfect shapes and sizes, with all sorts of imperfections. And I'll come on to that in just a minute. But what I want to say to you is that, sadly, over 38 years, I have known wonderful times when I've been on that side of the equation, and terrible times. Before I became a pastor, I said some awful things about my pastor and was horrible towards him and couldn't stand the sight of him, if I'm really honest with you. Does that ring any bells at any time we find people that... sometimes it's because we simply stayed too long, but actually the first thing God did with me is he corrected me as I was praying and said, your attitude is wrong. Go and say sorry to this man. And I did. And you know what? He's been my friend ever since. He came to my ordination. In fact, he said the prayers for my ordination. And my last full-time church, he came and was part of the induction service for me there. Somebody who I found really difficult. You've had good pastors, mediocre pastors, poor pastors. But our attitude to them needs to be a godly one. I've found that we can find love and support for ways and strays that come into the church, can't we? And people who are with all sorts of problems, we will love them and support them, and that's what we're meant to do. I've found churches are really good with strangers and trying to reach out and help in whatever way we can and to love and care for people. But I've also found that isn't always the case when it comes to their own pastor. I've got many a wound that can testify to that. But you, like I, will also know that we haven't always acted as honourably as we could. Now, why do I say that? To make you feel terrible? No, so that when we get a new one, we don't repeat it. We don't actually do it. You know, I've heard people talk about your last pastor or the one before that, and one of them was more godly than I don't know who, and then I can go right back to Ted Kirk. He's a way back. And Nick Compton. I know all your pastors. But actually, the most important thing is, even if we don't agree with them, we show respect. Not necessarily we can disagree, but it's how we disagree. How we love and respect them. And if what I do know is churches that respect pastors grow. Groups of churches that respect pastors, when you look historically, are churches that grow. Because they are imbibing that gift. And I know that when I have been received well, I've left a place in a better place. My church in, not far from Norwich, is still functioning really, really well. It was a church I didn't want to have to be in the pulpit all the time. You'd often find a teenager preaching. But we led it from being a traditional little church to something that was big and glorious and where Christ was found to be amongst his people. Was that because I was any good? No, because I'd learned that I'm not very good, because that's my last point. Because Paul, in 1 Corinthians 15, 9 and 10 says this, I am the least of the apostles. I am the least of the apostles. And I'd want to tell you that I am the least of the pastors. But there should be a long line behind me that is saying, no, Brian, I am. Oh, no, Brian, it's not you, it's me. That actually, when we recognise our weakness, that we're not God's gift, then God can use us. So in other words, we're looking for in a pastor for humility. That I'm not actually that sort of person at all. Paul says, I am the least of the apostles. Would you call him that? The amount he wrote in the New Testament and what he said and did. He wasn't, but that's how he viewed himself, the least of the apostles. And that's what we look for in a pastor, that it's only by the grace of God they can say, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15, I am what I am because of the grace of God. And that causes your pastor to work harder than ever before and to share with you. So pastors need to be people that recognise their true state. You know, who they really are. See, God can choose anybody. And he does in the Bible, doesn't he? He chose David, who got his lover's husband killed. He chose Paul, Apostle Paul, who was holding coats while Stephen was killed. He chose people that were far from honest, like Abraham, calling his wife his sister. He can choose anybody. It's his choice who he chooses to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers. They're all gifts of grace, and we need to recognise that just as I am and you are, and when we all walk in that humility led by the pastor, then we actually are very, very fruitful. Don't be fooled that because somebody says I'm the least and all the rest of it, don't take that for weakness. It's humility. And it is weak, but it produces spiritual power. It produces a power that is supernatural, that achieves things that you can only dream of. And some of the things I've seen happen in 38 years are incredible. Miraculous things have happened, as well as the everyday. But it's not because I was any good, but there have been times, as a pastor, as your leaders well know, and you do because you know me well enough, that I might have to correct you. Is it because I'm better than you? No. Is it because I want the Lord it over you? No. But sometimes we have to correct and help re-educate ourselves to something else. Don't take it as weakness, because it produces spiritual power. Humility isn't weakness, but it, because a pastor's ability to function doesn't come from might or power or birth or intellect or character type. It comes from receiving the grace of God. I didn't choose to be a pastor. The Lord Jesus chose me. And whoever you get, he has chosen them to be a support for you, to be a carer for you, to be a leader for you, to guide you. All you've got to do is be willing to accept that. And that's where I encourage you to take a little bit of time to reflect on what I've said to you today and say, Lord, I want what you want, because we want this church to be fruitful, don't we? You know, I don't want to be here in 5 years' time and you're still only this size. Oh, we like it this size. Yeah, you do, but actually there's a lot of people out there that don't know Jesus. So I think we need to dream bigger dreams and all sorts of things, but that's for the future. It starts with me. Am I willing, really open and honest, to let go of? Because it isn't just pastors get hurt, sometimes churches get hurt too, from pastors that are hurt. You, like me, from the gift that is sent to us, can receive blessing, but you can also be hurt. You can have wonderful times and difficult times. And what the Lord wants us to do, like my attitude to my old pastor, is to let all that go so that we have an open heart to receive the gift that God has for you. It's about heart before it's about anything else. Am I? So ask the Lord, is my heart right so that I will respect and honour who you sent? That I will be fruitful for you with my brothers and sisters as we see your kingdom advance, as we welcome this gift. Let's pray together. Lord, I've spoken to myself this morning, but I believe I've spoken your word as well. And I pray that we won't just get crossed by it, but we will open our hearts to say, am I open to receive? Am I teachable? Am I open to receive from others and from a pastor? And Lord, I want to say I am sorry when I criticise or I'm judgmental or I've not shown love and care where I should have done to those that you've sent. I want to turn from that and ask that you will renew my heart and my thinking. Help me to live according to your word. That your word says a pastor's worth double honour, Lord. So we pray that we might learn what it is to honour those that you send amongst us. Lord, speak clearly into our hearts in these days as we prepare for what you're going to do amongst us in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.